It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night will never be. It's a city where no storm cloud will ever gather. What heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder? We'll join the long upon the glassy sea. We'll join. What heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee, and when they crown him Lord of Lords, what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder? We'll join the throngs upon the glassy sea. We'll join. What heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image other loves all flee, and when they what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder? And we'll join the throng upon the glassy sea. We'll join. Forever. It's a country where no twilight shadows deepen. Unending day where night will never be. It's a city where no storm clouds will ever gather. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder? We'll join the throng upon the glassy sea. We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Yes, this is just what heaven means to me.
Amen. Is that how you feel about it tonight? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service again tonight together to worship the Lord in spirit and truth. And wanted to just announce again, Lord willing, our dedication service will be tomorrow night at 7:30. And then we'll be having a pitch-in meal Saturday out at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church in Georgetown from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. Brother Jack Duff will be with us preaching on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And then Brother Layton has some boxes of oranges that they were given that's in the basement, and more than they could eat in a timely manner on themselves. So if you want to get some after service, that would be fine. You just go down in the fellowship area there. They're on the tables down there, and just grab as many as you want. But don't let the kids eat them in the fellowship area and throw the peels and things around. So just wait till you get home if you don't mind on that. We've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord. Brother Jeff Bryant, my uncle, he's requesting prayer for my cousin Marcus, who's trying to find a job. We'd want to remember him in prayer. Also, the Pierce and the Leak families are traveling this week. Want to remember them in prayer. And Sister Tina and Treasure and Jackson are all not feeling well. Also, Brother Daniel and Summer Cooley are not feeling well. Sister Jeannie Hoover is having bad knee pain. Want to remember her in prayer. Sister April Stutzman's having bad neck and back pain. And then Brother Ron Spencer, who was supposed to be with us here tonight, he had to preach a funeral today from a member of his church that passed away. And then also his dad, Brother Charlie Spencer, he's in the hospital. And so he's not going to be able to make it to the services this week. I do apologize for that. But I told him he owes us one, so he's going to come and preach us special meetings again sometime. Brother Jack will be arriving, Lord willing, via plane early tomorrow, so he'll be preaching the dedication service for us tomorrow night, and you're just going to have to put up with me tonight, so you keep me in prayer. And then also, Sister Savannah Virgin, her grandpa had an injury that caused a brain bleed last night, and they rushed him to the hospital, and they thought they were going to have to do surgery. Sister Sherry called, and we had prayer, and they sent him home today. There's no need for surgery, so praise the Lord for that. He does have some other health issues, and the doctors are saying he may have to go on dialysis, so we want to remember him in prayer. We know the Lord that healed him of the brain bleed can heal him the rest of the way as well. So, how many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Brother Daniel, good to have you in the service with us tonight. Would you just come and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? Some of these very needy, but we serve a God that hears and answers prayer. Amen.
Bless you, brother. Amen. Let's just bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, it's so good to be in your house tonight, Lord Jesus. It's good to just see other brothers and sisters that love you. Lord, as we gather around the banner of the old rugged cross, Lord, and what you did to die there to pay for our sins, we're just so happy tonight, Lord, to be together to celebrate that great occasion, Father, and to know what it did and what it did in each one of our lives to set us free from the bondage of sin, Lord. And Lord, we're just so thankful tonight to have a place to come and worship with brothers and sisters, Lord. It was so good to come in and, Lord, see the picture of the prophet hanging in the church, Lord, and see a people that are identified with the message of the hour in this day, Lord. Lord, we know the pillar of fire would let a people out, Lord, and you've led us out of many walks of life, to gather under this great banner of the message. We're thankful tonight, Lord. It gives us encouragement to see other brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And Lord, we bring our needs before you tonight, Lord. You see the requests, so many, Lord, not to remember them all. We remember our sister Hoover, Lord, who has this problem with her knee and the pain, Lord. We pray that you would touch her body and heal her, Lord. You said, I'm the Lord that heals all of your sicknesses and all of your diseases. Lord, you said, whatsoever things you desire when you're praying, believe it and you shall have what you ask for, Lord. And we're just asking, Lord, for these needs. Sister Stutzman, Lord, as she's sick tonight also, Lord, another unspoken request. You know every need, Lord, that's on every heart. May you help us tonight, Lord. Draw close to us, Lord. Forgive us of our sins and shortcomings. Heal our bodies, Lord Jesus, we pray. And as the word of God is preached, Lord, may it lift us up into heavenly places. May we be washed by the water of the word, Lord. Strengthen us tonight, Lord. When we leave, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Father, bless Brother Nathan and Sister Rebecca, Lord, and all the deacons and trustees and everyone that would put their hand, Lord, to keep the kingdom of God moving forward. I pray that you would bless them, Lord, we ask. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. You can be seated tonight. I believe Brother Will Andes has a special for us if he'd come at this time.
Amen. How many's glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight?
Amen.
I was thinking a couple weeks ago how blessed we really are to believe this message, to have a God that loves us, to have families that love us. I was just thinking, I heard the phrase, I'm a poor rich man. And I began to think about that. You know, I just began to think about my family and how they love me and how I go to a good church and how they love me, and I have fellow brothers and sisters, and they love me, and have a heavenly Father that he loves me. I said, Lord, maybe I don't have a lot of money, but Lord, I'm a poor rich man. Amen. I'm a rich man in spirit and the Holy Ghost. Amen. You can sing this with me if you catch on to it. I just wrote this really fresh, so it's still fresh off the press. But here we go. Let's see if I can get this mic right.
Today people are searching for truth and what is right. In this world they're always struggling for great things in this life. But I found a friend in Jesus, he's given everything to me. And today I have a reason to sing. I'm a poor rich man, I'm just working in this life. I don't have a lot of money, but I have God and that's all right. I don't want to get discouraged or give up my fight. Very soon I'll be leaving in the twinkling of an eye. I'm a poor rich man. Well, I thank him for the good time. I thank him for the bad. There's no need to get discouraged, for Jesus makes me glad. I don't want to build a kingdom or have an earthly throne. Just as long as I'm with Jesus in a world with God alone. I'm a poor rich man. Oh, I'm just working in this life. I don't have a lot of money, but I've got God and that's all right. I don't want to get discouraged or give up my fight. Very soon I'll be leaving in the twinkling of an eye. I'm a poor rich man. Well, I'm sure not perfect, and neither are you. In the Bible it says we failed him a time or two. But I'm not going to dwell on the things of the past, for we all know only what's done for Christ will last. I'm a poor rich man. You believe it? I'm just working in this life. I don't have a lot of money, but I have God and that's all right. I don't want to get discouraged or give up my fight. Very soon I'll be leaving in the twinkling of an eye. I'm a poor rich man. Oh, I'm just working in this life.
I don't have a lot of money, but I've God, and that's all right. I don't want to get discouraged or give up my fight. Very soon I'll be leaving in the twinkling of an eye. I'm a poor rich man. Very soon I'll be leaving in the twinkling of an eye. I'm a poor, rich man.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Will. We appreciate that tonight. How many's thankful that you're a poor, rich man or woman? Amen. I'd rather have Jesus than all this world and its gold and its silver and everything they could give us. Amen. If the brothers would come at this time. Amen. How many came to worship the Lord tonight?
Well, I don't know what you came to do, but I came to praise the Lord. I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, some may sit and criticize. Oh, but I came to praise my Lord. And criticize, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, some may sin and criticize, oh, but I came to praise my Lord. Hallelujah, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, let's stand and sing it together tonight. Well, I don't know what you came to do, oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Yes, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Well, I don't know what you came to do. Oh, but I came to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn and shake somebody's hand while we sing it tonight?
Help me sing this one tonight.
Oh, I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. I'm feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, the devil, he don't like it when I'm talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it when we're talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, I'm feeling so much better. Oh, yes, I'm feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Oh, let's go on.
Are you feeling better tonight?
Sing it to Him. Feeling so much better. Oh, yes, I'm feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. No, the devil, he don't like it when we're talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it when we're talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, I'm feeling so much better. Oh, yes, I'm feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Amen. You want to talk about Him a while tonight? Amen. Amen. God bless you, musicians. Thank you very much. We appreciate our musicians, our backup musicians, our regular musicians, all of them. They do a wonderful job, and appreciate Sister Layton helping out while Sister Stephanie was gone, and appreciate all of you that are here tonight, all the visitors, all the home folks. And Brother Ron had text messaged me Sunday after church and said that a brother had passed in his church there, an elder brother that had just been a pillar in their church, and that he may have to do the funeral, and didn't know if that would affect things. And so he let me know on Monday that the funeral was scheduled for Wednesday, and he was still planning on coming and being here Thursday for the dedication service. And then he let me know yesterday afternoon, I got along with the Lord and went out hiking in the woods for a while, and he texted me while I was out there, said that his dad, Brother Charlie, had to be placed back in the hospital because he's losing blood, and they're concerned about him, so he felt that he just couldn't come at this time. He said the only other time he's ever had to cancel a meeting is when he was in a coma, and I said, well, I'm glad you're not in a coma this time, but he is going to come be with us again some other time when we can work it with his schedule. But a sister had told me a while back, she said, why don't you just preach your own special meeting sometime? I said, you can't do that. You can't preach your own special meeting, but she proved me wrong tonight, Brother Arnie. You can apparently preach your own special meeting. At least I'm going to try to tonight, so you pray for me. Numbers chapter 20, if you turn with me tonight. We've been looking for some weeks. I don't have any special dedication sermon for you tonight. Brother Jack will maybe bring something along those lines tomorrow night. But we've been for some weeks on this thought of speak the word. And we started off with God when He created the world, and then we went to Adam, how he was an amateur creator, and then to Abraham, different things that he spoke, and now we've been on Moses for some weeks, and we want to pick up with this again tonight and look at Moses a little further. I told a brother that was, I guess it was Brother Lee, he called me, remind me he was going to be out of town, not be here, and I said, well, Lord willing, tonight we'll finish up with Moses, and I said, I'll finally get Job off the ash heap, as some people have been asking when I was going to get Job off the ash heap, but not the end of the series. We've got several other characters that we want to look at through the Bible and the message, and then we want to eventually look at the bride and on this thought of speak the word. But Numbers chapter 20 and verse 3, and the people chode with Moses and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us in unto this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod I want you to notice here that he tells him to take the rod with him. And gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron and thy brother, and speak ye into the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Let's just bow our heads this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that you would come again into our midst. Lord, may you just unfold yourself to us in a way that only you can. Father, the people didn't come out just to hear a man or just to see one another, but Lord, we come together to worship you and to fellowship around this word. And Lord, I just ask that you would come on the scene again tonight in a special way. Lord, I have no ability in my own to be able to do anything that would have eternal value, Father, but if I can get myself out of the way so that you could speak something, Lord, as I read the scriptures and read the quotes, Lord, we know that they're already anointed, but I ask that you would anoint me, anoint my lips, Lord, and anoint the people, not only their ears, but their hearts, Lord, that we could hear, that we could learn more about you, and that we could go away tonight saying, wasn't it good to be in your presence? Oh, Lord, how that you came and talked to us along the way. Lord, I just ask that you'd be with each one that's present here. No doubt many needs are represented, Father, but may you minister to those needs tonight, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated. Moses here speaking, and the people coming and speaking to him, complaining and chiding with him and telling him all the things that they had to complain about. And as I've said before, you think sometimes that you'd like to be, I used to think as a young man, I'd love to be the pastor of a great big church and all these different things. But as the church begins to grow, the more I keep praying, Lord, don't let us get too big. And because the more people that you have, the more problems that you have, the more opinions that you have, the more personalities that you have. And that's wonderful. Nothing against growth. I believe that God's in it and we appreciate it. But Moses, I begin to feel more and more sorry for him the more I go along with 2 million people, Brother Daniel, that he had to provide for, and he had to counsel, and he had to deal with. And Brother Bram said, can you imagine how many babies that were born every night and all that he went through? And they saw the supernatural hand of God deliver them out of Egypt, and they saw the plagues come, and yet they saw that there was a peace in the time of plague, in the time of tribulation. They were a separated people, and there were things that the Egyptians were going through that they didn't have to face in Goshen because God was protecting them. And as we shared the testimony Sunday morning just about this hurricane that just came through, and Brother Jason Watkins texted me telling me that the area that they're in, much of it is just devastated and demolished, but that none of the families in his church were hurt or their homes destroyed. I said, there's still a Goshen somewhere, isn't there? And so I thank God that there's still a refuge in the time of storm, not only a physical or tropical or whatever it would be, but also times of spiritual storm and financial troubles and marital troubles and whatever it would be that you're facing tonight. There's still a cleft in the rock that we can go to in the time of the storms. And we find that Moses had went out there into the wilderness, and the people began to complain because there wasn't any water, and the water that they had was bitter. And so God had showed him a tree that he should cut down and place in the water. It made the water sweet instead of bitter. And then the people went on, they began to complain that they were hungry. God provided a manna out of heaven, as we looked at it last week. And then again, now they come and they begin to complain that, oh my, there's not any water for them. God told him last week, he said, speak or smite the rock, and he went out there with the rod and he smote the rock and it began to bring forth water. Now God begins to tell him again, as they begin to complain about the water situation again, he said, this time I want you to take the rod with you, but I don't want you to smite the rock, I want you to speak into the rock. Now Brother Branham picks this up in the message Speak to the Rock in 1960, and he says, speak to the rock, and the rock shall bring forth his waters. Did you notice it? It will bring forth his personal pronoun, his water. What kind of waters? Waters of life. He said, that's the kind it'll bring forth. God promised it, and God would do it. Now, I don't believe that was just for a group of people back there in the wilderness somewhere, but I believe that if you have a need tonight, that he's still that same rock that followed him in the wilderness, and that he will bring forth his waters, for whatever type of water that you have need of tonight. If you're thirsty, just come and drink tonight. Amen. He's still more than able. Now, in verse 9 of Numbers 20, it says, Moses took the rod from the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore shall ye not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Brother Branham said in Grace, in the Message of Grace in 1961, he said, But Moses wanted to show he had a little authority, a little power, so he said, I'll bring you water out of this rock. He said, God should have killed him for it. That's what Brother Branham said. God should have killed him for it. God should have separated him there. He broke God's law right there because he spoke of the weakness of Christ. He has to be smitten the second time. Christ was only smitten once. Now we speak to the rock and it brings forth its waters. Now, I want you to note that Brother Branham is telling us this, that Moses here speaking of the weakness of Christ, he wasn't to be smitten twice. He smites him once and now God tells him, speak to the rock, and he goes out there and he gets so angry and so frustrated with this people because of their unbelief. They've gone through and they've seen miracle after miracle, supernatural thing after supernatural thing, plague after plague. They've seen the pillar of fire come down, and they've seen it and the cloud separate together them from the Egyptians and part the waters and them walk across on dry land, and then the waters implode on the Egyptians. They've seen these things. Now, they could have told their great-great-grandchildren about it, and they could have said, well, do you have a picture? Do you have a Polaroid? Do you have a video? Do you have something like that? And they would just have to take those people's word for it, their great-great-granddaddy or whatever it was. But in our day, I believe that same pillar of fire and that same cloud was identified with us again in this age. And we have scientific proof of it, and people still walk away and make fun of it and say, oh, it was a rocket, or oh, it was this, or oh, it was that. I told somebody, I said, if it was a rocket, I wish they would produce to me that model number of rocket so that we could get some of them and set them off here around 4th of July, and we just have mystery clouds all over Jeffersonville. But they've never seen a replica of it. They've never seen anything like it up where moisture doesn't even, it just evaporates and doesn't even exist, and there was no entry trail and no exit trail. They can't ever prove to me that it was a missile, but it was God revealing himself to his people, unfolding himself again in this day, showing that I can do the same thing that I did back there in Egypt. I can perform the same thing for my people today. And they would go along and they would complain. And Moses finally got so upset, he goes out there and he smites the rock. Now, Brother Ram says in 1961 that God should have killed him. And many times we begin to look at it, we begin to judge old Moses and, oh my, why wouldn't you just do what God told you to? But then when the mirror gets flipped around, we begin to look at our own life, we recognize there was many, many more times in our lives we didn't do what God was leading us to do than Moses. And we find out that even though he smote the rock when God told him to speak to it, yet can you imagine being there and standing there with your hand on your hip and saying, well, bless God, I'm not going to drink from that rock because God told him to smite it. And I believe I found a mistake in the message now because he went out and smote the rock instead of speaking to it. So bless God, I'm not going to drink any of that water. You would have died in the desert right along with Dathan and Korah and the rest of them. But the people that wanted to survive and to actually come out and be completely delivered, they drank from the rock that Moses smote. They followed the message of the prophet. You say, oh, but he made a mistake. Did he? Then why in 1963 did Brother Branham come around and say they crucified him again in this generation? He's saying this in 1961, that Moses smote the rock twice and that he shouldn't have done it because Christ was only crucified once. But he comes around in 1963 and he indicts this generation because they've once again crucified Jesus Christ in the form of the Word by denying and rejecting him. So was Moses really so far off after all? You say, well, why would God kill him then over it? Why would God not let him go over into the promised land? Brother Ram said, I heard somebody say one time, God forsook Moses. He said, no, he didn't forsake him. We'll read about it here in a moment. Let's look at this in Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 5. So Moses the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. Now Moses, he goes up and he climbs Mount Pisgah. And God tells him, I'm going to give you a little preview of the bride. I mean of the promised land. I'm going to give you a little preview. And I want you to look over into the promised land. And I want you to see what this land that you've been promised and where you've been going. You can't enter into the land, Moses. But I've promised the children of Israel. I promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And I promised that they would have this land. And I want you to look over into the land. And he walks up to the top of Mount Pisgah. And he gets up to the top there. And he looks around out over all the land. And the Bible said that he died and that he was buried in a valley there, but that no man knew where the sepulcher was. And that drove the devil crazy. Jude chapter 1 verse 9 said, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. When the devil started all these campaigns and things saying, what about the grave of Moses? And I want to know where it was at, and I want you to scientifically prove it to me. He didn't go and try to prove it to the devil and get a scientific idea and have all kinds of proof. He just said, the Lord rebuke you. You say, why don't you go after some of these guys that's talking about the message more than you do, Brother Nathan? Well, because Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. He said, let them alone. So unless he leads me to do differently, I just let them alone. They'll go fall off in a ditch. I don't have to spend every preaching hour in the pulpit trying to prove them wrong. I'm trying to bring the word to you. Amen. I don't have to get up here. I've seen so many ministers take countless pulpit hours trying to prove everybody else wrong. But I'm not trying to prove anything wrong. I'm trying to prove something right to you. I'm trying to show you that the same word in the days of Paul, we believe the same thing today. We took it and looked at it for a year on a little series we was on No Other Foundation. We took every major doctrine that I could think of, predestination, serpent seed, Godhead, marriage and divorce, real true grace, on and on, the Godhead, the water baptism. And we took it back and I'd take a whole service and not even read one quote and just tell you what Moses and Jesus and Paul said about it. And then I'd take one whole service and not hardly read one scripture and show you what Brother Branham said to about it, and not one time did we ever find that they were contradictory to one another. Brother Branham said, oh, will Paul be judged for the things that he taught? The person over there beyond the curtain of time said, yes, Brother Branham, he'll have to be judged. He said, well, I taught the same gospel that Paul preached. As we looked at it here a while back, you know, there's many people that want to criticize a man. I gave a big list of about 30 different things. You know, they couldn't have confidence in a man that said an angel spoke to him and that was visited by a pillar of fire and that preached against women preachers and preached on taught predestination and water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. And we couldn't accept that type of man today. And I went on about 30 different things. I said, you think I'm talking about Brother Branham, but I'll show you every scripture where I'm actually talking about the Apostle Paul. They say, we can't accept a man like that. Well, you couldn't have accepted the Apostle Paul then. Oh, they don't believe in prophets in our day. Well, you couldn't have accepted Paul or Agabus or any of them. Oh, I don't believe in angels today. Well, what would you have said when Peter said that an angel came and delivered him out of prison? What would you have said when Philip said that an angel came and told him to go down and speak to an Ethiopian eunuch? What would you have said when Paul said, tonight, men, even though the waves are bad and even though it looks terrible for us, there's not going to be one soul lost, only the ship, because the angel of the Lord, whose servant I am, stood beside me this night and told me about it. You would have said, oh, I don't believe in angels. I don't believe in prophets and things. That was Old Testament stuff. Well, it's still New Testament stuff too. Brother Branham says it this way. God has a provided way. 1962, he said, Moses got old, 120 years old, and one day he was going to die, so he climbed up to the top of Mount Pisgah, and while he was up there viewing the promised land, death struck him, that faithful prophet of God, when there never been one lived like him. But death struck him, and when death struck him, he needed a place that he could die. God provided a rock. That same rock that had followed him through the wilderness, he climbed up on the rock and died. Oh, when I go, let me go like that. Amen. I don't have to go in $1 million Rolls Royce or with a $3,000 silk suit. Just let me climb up on that rock that's followed me and been with me and healed me when I was sick and provided for me when I couldn't provide for myself and saved my family and my friends when I couldn't save them. Let me climb up on him and die when it comes my time. Then he needed pallbearers to bury him, and God provided angels, and they come and packed him away somewhere in the earth. What was it? God. If we'll walk in God's provided way, God will provide everything we have need of. God provides. No matter what the circumstance is, he provides. You say, Brother Nathan, why is it that there's so many people that have got discouraged and went back to the world or turned away from the message or went back to the denominations or back to this or back to that? Because they made the mistake of letting their circumstances dictate how they looked at God instead of allowing God to dictate how they looked at their circumstances. Amen. I don't want to let my circumstances say, well, you know, the Lord sure blessed me this week. You know, I got a $500 check over here and got this over there and my car's running good and there's no leaks in the roof of the house and God sure must love me this week. And then the next week, oh, God must not love me. I mashed my thumb and I got to go to the doctor and my bank account's overdrawn. He must not love me. You're letting your circumstances dictate your opinion of God when you should turn it around and let God dictate the way you look at your circumstances. Moses didn't allow every little thing that happened to say, oh my, we're out of water again. I guess God just doesn't care for us. I guess he didn't really call me to be a deliverer. I guess he really doesn't want me to do this. He said, Lord, what do you want me to say this time? Here I am. Here the staff is. As Brother Arnie sang the other night, if you'll provide the man, he'll provide the grace. Oh my, he'll provide what we have need of. Why Christ Speak, 1963, says, and we find out that he died on the rock and he must have rose again and everything, because 800 years later he was standing on Mount Transfiguration talking to the Lord Jesus. See, angels packed him away. No one knows where he's buried. Even the devil don't know that. He says, now this is after the seals was open. He says, frankly, I don't believe he was ever buried. I believe that God packed him away and he died on the rock that he followed all the days of his life. Now this is the fifth seal, 1963, March the 22nd. He said, now Moses actually died, but he rose, because he was a perfect type of Christ. See, nobody ever knew where he was buried. The angels come, took him. He had angel pallbearers. Why? No mortal man could pack him where he was going. Oh, may that be my testimony. I don't need no pallbearers. Where I'm going, they can't pack me. Oh, they might pack this shell and this human flesh, but where this inside man is going, you can't carry me there. Only Jesus Christ can carry me where I'm going. I hope that's your testimony tonight. I've got a body that's repaired, that's waiting for me. I can't explain to you the chemicals and the process and how that it's going to be taking place, but I may be driving in my car one day, or I may be just taking one step and step into another body, or I may be laying in a hospital bed and just all of a sudden take one breath in and that be my last breath, and the next time I breathe in, be in another body. And I think, my, those lungs feel better. What happened here? They can't pack me where I'm going. Oh, they may pack me to prison someday and say, oh, you're preaching a hate gospel and you're against this and you're against that. And they may pack me here and they may pack me there. They may pack me in an ambulance to a hospital someday, but they can't pack me where I'm going. He said, let me stand. Oh my, let me read it here. No mortal could pack him where he was going. He just went through an act, that's all. He had angels as pallbearers because they took him where he was supposed to be. No one knows. Even to Satan didn't even know. He disputed with the archangel. That's right. He couldn't understand what happened to Moses. I see him trembling over there and looking over the land and looking back to the children and so forth. I see him trembling, but he stepped on the rock, and that was the last time I saw him. He said, that's the rock. That's the rock. Let me stand on that rock at the end of my road. Let that be my testimony, that in Laodicea, and all the persecution and sin and fanaticism and all the darkness and evil that could ever be has piled up in this age, to where Brother Branham said even those 200,000 demons out of the Lake Euphrates that had been turned loose on the Jews during the Dark Ages would be turned loose again in these last ages. How that it just complete darkness, that Satan could stand and scratch his head and say, I don't know what happened. And there Brother Nathan was. He was getting ready to step out of the pulpit, and he just stepped down the steps, and I don't know what happened to him. I've looked for him. I've searched websites. I've searched grave sites. I've searched every site I can think of. I can't find him nowhere. I don't know what happened. Don't let it just be my testimony. What about you? Amen. Amen. I believe we're going to have a body change one of these days. Oh, my. Why, Brother Nathan? Because you deserved it? No, I deserved hell, but he came and paid a price for me. I deserved death, but he came and took my death. I deserved to have my hands and my nails pierced, but he came and took it for me. Told somebody the other day, if we got kicked everybody out of the church that had ever done any sin, it'd sure be an empty place, wouldn't it? Sure be an empty church, Brother Hoover. If we said, everybody that's ever committed a sin, get on out of here. I'd have to leave, I know that much. Maybe some of you are more righteous than I am, but maybe you're just lying to yourself or lying to everybody else. There's only one righteous. There's only one sinless, and his name isn't Nathan Bryan or William Branham or David Hoover. There's only one sinless one, that's Jesus Christ. Brother Branham said, I'm not him, I'm just your brother. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I know that just is so hard for people to swallow, but it makes me rejoice and praise that God could take a sinner saved by grace and perform the same things that he did in his own ministry, and to the point that people would actually mistake him for Jesus Christ because his works were so much like Jesus Christ. I hope that I can get to that point where people, I don't want people to worship me, don't misunderstand me tonight, but I hope that I can get to the place where my actions are so much like his, and my words are so much like his, and the way I treat people is so much like him that people say, deity must be living in there. I know that's not the Son of God, but I know it's a Son of God. I know that's not, when they look at you sisters, I hope they get to the point, I know that's not the Son of God, but it's sure a daughter of God. Why? They recognize something that's changed in you. Let's look at St. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. He said unto them, verily I say unto you that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. Now, they went after this, after he says this in verse 1. You can just stay there. We're going to read a few verses after that. But in St. Mark chapter 9, verse 1, when he says this, that there would be some there that wouldn't taste death until they saw the kingdom coming of God coming in power, they begin to make a doctrine that John wasn't ever going to die, because he was the youngest one of them. They said, John's never going to die until he sees the kingdom of God. Now, I wonder what happened to that doctrine when he died of an old man there after he had pastored the Ephesian church and all that he had done. He'd been on the Isle of Patmos. They tried to boil the Holy Ghost out of him. They did all these things. And then John passes away and they think, oh my. Well, they had to come up with a new doctrine or a new idea or a new something. Or they had to say, well, bless God, it was that old pastor of ours. He always taught us that. And I never really believed it in the first place. And now, Brother so-and-so says this about it. But they were looking at it carnally. And they were thinking that, well, John's the youngest one of us, so surely he's not going to die until the kingdom of God comes. But verse 2 says, and after 6 days. They recognized it 6 days later, but it went right over the top of most of their heads. He saw the kingdom of God coming in power 6 days later, and there was many of them years later still looking for it to take place. I wonder how many sit around the message still waiting for this to take place and waiting for that to take place, and we'll look back someday and think, oh my, it already took place way back yonder somewhere. Amen. After 6 days, Jesus taketh him with Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Now they see these two men. Now Elijah, hundreds of years before, had taken a solo flight into heaven on chariots of fire. Moses had died, and angel pallbearers had packed him. But Brother Bam said, we just read it, he must have rose again, because here they stand hundreds of years later. Now this man smote the rock instead of speaking to it, and we want to, condemn him. But here he stands there speaking with Elijah and with Jesus. Brother Bram says it this way in Who is This Melchizedek, 1965. He said 800 years later on Mount Transfiguration, here stood those two men. Moses' body had been rotten for hundreds of years, but here he was in such a form till even Peter, James, and John recognized him. That body had been somewhere corrupting in the dust, but he wasn't in that body no more anyhow. He had a resurrection. And here he stands talking with Peter, James, and John, and he's in such a good condition, they recognize him. That looks just like some of those paintings we saw of Moses. That looks just like what we always talk about. You know, that man, there's something about him, the way he looks, the way he holds himself, that staff in his hand, the way he speaks and the doctrine that he's teaching, the way that must be Moses. And look over here, this man, I can tell by the identification of his words and his ministry, this must be Elijah. I'm glad we was able to recognize it again in this age. Brother Branham said he sends that spirit five times. Once as Elisha, once as John the Baptist, once to call out a bride, and once to call out the Jews. Five times he sends five men with that spirit. I'm glad we was able to recognize the one that was sent to us. Amen. He said they recognized him. Amen. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, if you're an attribute of God expressed here on earth, you've got a body waiting after you leave this world.
Amen.
You've got a body waiting. You say, Brother Nathan, I tell you, I'm just discouraged tonight. Don't be discouraged. You've got a body waiting for you. Oh, but, you know, the doctor says I've got this, and the doctor says I've got that. Don't be discouraged. You've got another one waiting for you somewhere.
Right.
Not only that, but why don't you speak to the rock tonight? He's still here, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why don't you speak to him tonight about whatever it is that you have need of? You don't have to wait for, you know, many people, they're sitting around waiting for the rapture, waiting on this, waiting on that. But what about right now? Today is our day. If you get sick, you don't have to wait for your body change. There's still a God that's a healer tonight.
Amen.
If you have a need, you don't have to wait for this brother or this thing or that thing. Why don't you speak to the rock tonight?
Amen.
He's more than able for what you have need of. You know, Sister Sherry text messaged me last night, said that Sister Savannah's grandpa was in the hospital and he was having a brain bleed. He had fell and injured himself. And Brother Layton had showed us here a couple years ago, Ezekiel 16:6, and how that Brother Branham had told his family, if there was ever somebody with a bleed, to read that three times over and pray the prayer of faith. And I got a nosebleed here one time at the church, and he came up. He said, I don't mean to be out of order, but he read that and prayed for me, and my nosebleed stopped like that. We spoke to the rock.
Amen.
That's not a superstition or a hocus pocus. We weren't dependent on hocus pocus. We were dependent on the rock.
Amen.
We were dependent on Jesus Christ. A few months later, my wife called me. She said, honey, I was at work, and she called me. I walked over to one of the little meeting rooms there. She said, honey, I've had a nosebleed for about 15 minutes, and I can't get it to stop. It's just bleeding uncontrollably. She said, would you read that scripture for me? And I read it and prayed for it, and it stopped instantly.
Amen.
A few months later, we was driving to work, to church rather, and on our way out the door, you know how it is, many times you're rushing around grabbing things and running and getting this and going to be late and all these different things, and one of the children had thrown a toy and cracked a light switch there in the room, and when they did, it was kind of a jagged edge, and I was going to go get a light cover replacement for it at Lowe's on Saturday and got busy and forgot all about it, and she reached in there to shut off the light, and when she did it, just filleted her finger open, just bleeding everywhere, spurted blood up on the wall, and Philip ran in and got her a handful of paper towels and ran and wrapped it around her. We got in the car, she showed it to me, the skin was just laid open, it was bleeding everywhere, and she said, let's just get to church and I'll clean it and get a Band-Aid there. And so we got onto 62 and just drove a little bit, and we was crossing the railroad tracks. I thought, Lord, you know my heart and I believe you, and I don't know it by memory, but I'm just going to quote that scripture to the best of my knowledge, and I began to say it with her and I began to pray for her. And by the time we got up on the ramp and got onto 265 there, she began to weep, and I said, what's the matter, honey? Does it hurt? And she said, no, it's gone. It's gone. It wasn't there anymore. You say, oh, that was just something that it wasn't cut that bad. Oh, yes, it was. I saw the skin laid back over, and she said, as I was praying, she watched it, and the skin began to close itself up, and she began to look at it. She thought, well, maybe the skin's just laying to it. She began to pull on it. She couldn't open it back up. There's no surgeon that can heal it like that, not a stitch, but we serve a great physician. We serve a great physician. I turned around to my little boy, Philip. I said, buddy, if you've never seen a miracle, you just experienced one. He had seen how bad it was. That's the type of God we serve. So the brother, Sister Savannah's grandfather, he had a brain bleed last night. And I began to pray for him and read that scripture. And I asked Sister Sherry today, I said, how's he doing? She said, they released him from the hospital. Thought he was going to have surgery, but they released him from the hospital. Why? Because of my prayers? Absolutely not. Because we still follow the rock in a weary land.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a healer. He's still a savior. You say, I've gone too far, Brother Nathan. You wouldn't be here if you did. Brother Branham said when that lady had crossed beyond the line there that she couldn't return, she said, Brother Branham, I could look at my mother's soul fry like a pancake in hell and laugh at it. I don't think you're to that point tonight. Oh, my, you haven't crossed the finishing line, or you wouldn't have any desire to be in church or around church or do anything else, but the devil will sure lie to you and try to tell you, oh, you've gone too far, oh, you've done too much. My Bible tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ saves all men from their sins. Amen. It's whether or not you can accept it. People say, oh, my, well, you know, it seems like the church anymore, there's just so many people that's coming in that they're sinners and there's this and there's that and all that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when I go to a hospital, Brother Stephen, I don't know about you, but I've never went into a hospital and said, oh, my, I hope everybody here is good and healthy because I don't want to catch anything they've got. And, they might have cooties or AIDS or diseases or all kinds of different things. I'm only going in that hospital if you can prove to me that everybody is well. Why on earth would there be well people in a hospital?
Right.
This is a place where the sick can get healed. This is a place where the addicted can get delivered.
Amen.
This is a place where the destitute can get help. This is a place where the weary can get rest. This is a spiritual hospital. Amen. I don't expect there to be people sitting here that's perfect and never sinned a day in their life and doesn't have any problems and they never argue with their wife. And if you're that good and that righteous, why are your feet still on the ground? Why haven't you taken a rapture? If you've got that much faith, why don't you just go ahead and take your own personal rapture? This is a place for people to heal. This is a place for people that sinners to come and get deliverance from what they have. You know, you say, oh, my, you mean you let Brother so-and-so come to your church? Absolutely. I can't think of a better place I'd want a sinner to be than somewhere that they could get delivered. Well, what if they cause a disturbance? Well, then we'll carry them out the same door they came in. But until they do, I'm going to extend as much grace as I can extend. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that when I was backslid, nobody picked me up by the elbows and said, nope, sorry, buddy, you can't come in here. No sinners welcome. Well, I thought that was what church was for. But many times we get the idea that church is just a place where we come and say amen and we sing our songs and we listen to our tapes and we listen to our ministers and it's just a place where everybody can come and be holy. Hey, it's a place where people can come and get holy. But let me tell you, there ain't one of us that enters that door holy. We looked at it a few weeks ago. There's no righteous. There's no flesh that can glory. But we come in so we can get around that one that's holy. We come in so we can get that in that presence of one that's holy so that he can take the things in our lives and begin to cleanse us and mold us and make us into his image. Oh, but I heard about what Brother So-and-so did. And somebody said on Facebook that they're doing this and they're doing that. And somebody said this on Twitter. I don't care what they said. My Jesus Christ, he was able to redeem a man one time that had stood and held the coats of men that had stoned one of his servants, picked up rocks and stoned him. He said, here, boys, let me hold your coats for you. So you can get some more handfuls of rocks. And he was going around putting God's people in prison. I don't think there's anybody here in that condition tonight. And God said, oh my, he's my messenger to the first age. Most of you would have probably been scared to death to attend one of his revivals. Oh my, I ain't going to that. I know what that guy was like. I ain't going in there. He called a man that not only slept with another man's wife, but had the man killed then after that to hide his own sin and his own wickedness. God looked down and said, that's a man after my own heart. Most of us would have looked at him and said, don't let that guy in the doors of church. I know what he did last Sunday. I know what he did last week. I know what he did down here. I heard about it. I saw about it. I read about it on Facebook. I read about it in the news. I know all about the guy. Don't let him in. And God begins to look down at David, and David comes with a penitent heart. He knows that he's wrong. The prophet Nathan has come and told him what he's done. He types it, and David's very quick to judge the man initially until he finds out it's him he's talking about. That's how most of us are. Oh, we're ready to run him out of town if it's somebody else. But no, really, I'm talking about you. This is just a parable. Oh, well, grace, grace. Grace, cried the capstone, when it's for you and your family.
Right.
That's the sad thing about many preachers today. I was talking to a pastor in Florida a while back, and there was another pastor there that he was teaching, if your children backslide at all, they're serpent seed. I said, you know how long he'll preach that? The brother said, no, I don't know. I said, until his children are teenagers. And he'll make everybody in his church, wear that yoke of bondage until his children get up to a spot where he realizes he needs some grace, and then he'll begin to change his doctrine a little bit. Oh, my. Getting quiet in here tonight already. Grace, grace. We want grace. But David, he began to look and he said, cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. You go read it in your Schofield and see if it doesn't say a psalm of David after he had sinned with Bathsheba. Right. This wasn't 3 years later after he'd done penance and got squeaky clean. This is right there. He's in torment and he's lost his child and he's sinned. And he begins to cry out, cast me not away, Lord. And he's in turmoil and he's in need and he's sinned. And he's done more wicked than probably anybody in this building has done. And God said, you know what? David, those anointed words that you're speaking, there's something so sacred about them. I'm going to put them in my holy word. Most of us would have made him live real good and holy for about 2 years and checked up on him before we would let him come to church. But David, God looked at David and said, it's a man after my own heart. He didn't say, and after that whole Bathsheba deal, just erase that part out of the Bible. But he said, he's a man after my own heart. Oh my, God help us tonight. Speak to the rock, 1960. He said, if you need joy, speak to the rock. If you need salvation, speak to the rock. Amen. If you need divine healing, speak to the rock. Yes. If you need the Holy Ghost, speak to the rock, and he will bring forth his waters, the waters of salvation. If you'll speak to the rock, anything you have need of, speak to the rock. The rock is just the same today as he ever was. He's still got eternal life. He's still got eternal peace. He's still got joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's still got divine healing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. The only thing people need to do is speak to the rock. What's your need tonight? You don't have to tell me, but you say it in your heart. What's your need tonight? What's on your heart? Is it a family member? Is it a financial need? Is it a spiritual situation in the church or in your life or in your family? Is it a family member that's strayed off and left God? Is it something that you've been dealing with in your own life that Satan's bombarding you about and he makes you feel so little and so unworthy about it? And maybe it's an addiction or maybe it's a depression or maybe Satan's trying to make you nervous or upset. Whatever it is, why don't you speak to the rock tonight? Amen. Why don't you take it to him tonight? He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says again, redemption and completeness and joy, 1954. He said, if you need salvation tonight, speak to the rock. It'll bring forth its water. If you're a backslider tonight, speak to the rock. It'll bring forth its water. If you're here tonight and without Christ and you've tried every church there is in town to find salvation, speak to the rock. It'll bring forth its water. You believe it? He said, if you're a backslider, gone away from God, you think there's not a chance for you, speak to the rock and it'll bring forth its water. Amen. He's still the same tonight. His grace is still sufficient tonight. Paul sat there and he felt so unworthy and he could think back to all the things he had done and putting people in jail and standing there letting them stone Stephen. God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. Took a lot of grace for Paul to be able to be a messenger. Took a lot for the people to be accepting, but God said, my grace is sufficient. His grace is still sufficient tonight. Yes, you say, oh, but brother so-and-so said, I've got to do this. And sister so-and-so said, I've got to do that. Why don't you just accept what your sacrifice did for you tonight? Why don't you speak to the rock tonight? He says again, redemption and completeness and joy, 1954. He said, if you're sick and you've tried everything in the world, you've tried to get in the prayer line and you can't get in the prayer line. You've had prayer cards and turned down. You went to one meeting and you went to another meeting. You've been anointed by the pastor. You've come through this prayer line. You've been everywhere else and you can't get healed. Why don't you speak to the rock now? He will bring forth his water. That's right. Why don't you give him a try once? Get on speaking terms with him right now while he's in the building. Amen. You believe he's in the building tonight? Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. Wherever two or three. You see, it's not just about numbers and about the size of the roof and the size of the steeple and all that. We appreciate what God's done for us and given us a building. But you know, God still met with us when we was in the home. He still met with us when we was at the schoolhouse and at the storefront and at the Methodist church. And he's met with us everywhere we went. We find out more and more when we was down even at the Optimist Club and different places. He's at the hotel banquet rooms and everywhere that we went. We found God was there if we would just come in his name. It's not about the building. We find out more and more as we go along. Not about this building at least, but it's about the building that you bring. Brother Branham said a pastor or a minister or evangelist, he doesn't bring revival in his suitcase. He said, but hungry hearts bring it with them. Hungry hearts bring it with him. He said, if God can just get a hold of that one person, he said, then it'll spread to the family. Then it'll spread to the church. Then it'll spread to the community. Then it'll keep spreading and spreading. What is it? Because revival struck in a heart somewhere. They ran up to that man there, that cop there, and they said, where is the Welsh revival? He said, you've arrived. You have arrived. I'm the Welsh revival. Amen. We didn't have the preacher that we was expecting tonight. We didn't have the sermon we was expecting tonight. We definitely didn't have a lot of things that we were expecting maybe, but Jesus Christ is still the same.
Amen.
And I hope you wasn't coming expecting me or Brother Ron or anybody else to produce revival. I hope you brought revival in you. Yeah. I hope you came with a hungry heart expecting God to do something. I hope that you came knowing that he would be in our midst because he promised that he would be. And if he's here, then why don't you speak to him again tonight? Why don't you speak to the rock? If the musicians would come tonight, this isn't just a sermon or a title or a cliche or a series or whatever you want to call it, but I believe that God is still, Brother Branham, the whole theme of his ministry was Hebrews 13 and 8, and I believe that God is still Hebrews 13 and 8.
Amen.
I believe that he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. I believe he still works in an unexpected way. I believe that, I don't know what you came expecting tonight. I don't know what you came. Maybe you was disappointed. Maybe you're here because your parents made you come. Maybe you're here because somebody said you needed to be. Maybe you're here because you were bored and didn't have anywhere else to be. I don't know why you're here tonight, but I believe if you're here and you can recognize that he's here, then whatever you have need of, you say, Brother Nathan, there's been this kid at school that's been bullying me, and I just don't know how to go about it. Why don't you speak to the rock tonight? Brother Nathan, there's this thing that I'm up against. There's this job situation. There's this school situation. There's this marriage situation, whatever it would be. Why don't you speak to the rock tonight? Oh, but Brother Nathan, you just don't understand. No, I may not understand, but he does. He does. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before your throne again tonight. Lord, as unworthy as we are, but yet, Lord, your word told us that if we would just speak to the rock, Lord, that you would bring forth your waters of life to us. Lord, I don't know all the needs of those that are here tonight. Lord, maybe some of them serious, some of them urgent. Maybe some of them spiritual things that could have an eternal effect on them or their family. Lord, may you just come on the scene tonight. May you speak to those needs. Lord, maybe there's things that people are facing that they don't know how they're going to get through it or around it or over it. Maybe they have debts. Maybe they have sickness in their body. Maybe they have circumstances at their job that they don't know how they're going to handle. Maybe they have circumstances at their school that they don't know how to go about. But Father, may you give them wisdom. May you give them strength. May you give them the courage that they need tonight. May they recognize that they can still speak to that same rock. Lord, and if you could bring water from a rock, Brother Branham said in one place it was the most unlikely place in all the desert that water would come forth. As we read last week, Father, he told us that it had to come out there thousands of gallons a minute to be able to provide for 2 million thirsty people and their cattle and their sheep and everything that they had. It wasn't just a trickle somewhere that we come and we get a little bit of a mouthful now and then just to help us to survive from Wednesday to Sunday and Sunday to Wednesday. But it was a gusher that was flowing. He said it watered everything in the desert. Lord, we believe there's still a fountain flowing tonight. Lord, that if we have a need tonight, help us not to belittle you. And do like Brother Branham said, the little fish there trying to drink sparingly in the ocean when there would be an impossible, it would be completely impossible for him to ever drink it up. Or that little mouse trying to eat sparingly from the garners of Egypt, the granaries. Lord, how he would seem so ridiculous to think that he would need to eat sparingly. But Lord, how we could multiply that 10 billion times and still not be anywhere close to recognizing your depth and height and all that you can do for us, Father, that we can never exhaust your mercy and your grace to us, and that fountain that's flowing, Lord, for whatever we have need of, Father. We're not here to preach prosperity, Lord, but we preach that you provide for us. You provide for our needs. If there's a need tonight, Father, Lord, we believe that you're a provider, that you're a way maker. Lord, that you're able to break chains of bondage that would hold people down. Things in their life, Father, that maybe they haven't given fully to you. Maybe they want you to be their Savior, but they haven't let you fully become their Lord. Father, may they just receive deliverance tonight. May tonight be the night that they drive down a stake and say, Satan, you may try to lie to me. You may try to destroy my life or my family or my financial or my health or whatever it would be. But I drive down a stake tonight because I'm speaking to the rock that provides for me, that rock in a weary land. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever for his people. Lord, may we drive down a stake so that when Satan would try to bring doubt or unbelief, we could point him back. Oh, Father, when he tries to remind us of our past, help us to remind him of his future. Give us the strength we need. Father, be with these meetings that are coming up, Lord, the dedication services. Lord, the fellowship on Saturday, the services on Sunday, all of it, Lord, may it be pleasing to you. May your presence be welcome in our midst. May you do exceedingly abundantly all we could ever expect or hope. Lord, we love you tonight. Protect those that are traveling for the meetings, Lord. Be with them. Give them traveling mercies. Those that are traveling on vacation, those that are sick in body, the requests that we read tonight, Father, may you be with each one. Lord, the uplifted hands for the unspoken request tonight. You saw the need. You saw the hand. Lord, I don't believe they just raised it because it's just a tradition and that's just what we do. And when the pastor or the song leader asks, we just raise our hand. But Lord, I believe they had needs behind those hands that they're facing, something that's personal to them. Lord, may you minister to those things tonight. Give them the things they have need of. Grant them the desire of their heart, Father, I pray. We believe you're still Hebrews 13:8, Father. We believe you're still Jehovah Jireh. We love you tonight, Jesus. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Let's just worship him a little while tonight. Oh, what a mighty God I know he is. Yes, oh, all of heaven and earth adore him, and his people bow before him. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, let's just worship him together. He's still that rock in a weary land. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. He's here for whatever you have need of. Why don't you speak to him tonight? Oh, what a mighty God I know he is. All of heaven and earth adore him, his people bow before him. Oh, what a mighty God. What you have need of. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, I know that he is. Oh, what a mighty God I know he is. Oh, he's here tonight. What a mighty God I know he is.
adore him. His people bow before him. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Let's sing it to him again tonight. Brother Nathan, old Satan, he tried to stop me, turn me aside. He said, no need for me to go on. Why should I try? Oh, even if there was a rapture, you never make it in. Why don't you just tell him, oh, listen, Satan, that proves you're a liar again, because I'm going to keep pressing on. Is that how you feel about it tonight? I'm gonna keep pressing on. Lord, keep me pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, Lord, keep me pressing on and on and on. He'll try to stop you, turn you aside. He'll say, no need for you to go on, no need to try. Why, even if there was a rapture, you'd never make it in. Oh, but we just say, Satan, that proves you're a liar again, because we're gonna keep pressing on. Oh, something down inside me keeps me pressing. Trying to turn us aside. He said, don't you know that there's mistakes in this message? Why don't you turn aside? But we say, now listen, Satan, you may think there's a problem here and there, but we had a vindicated prophet come in this age, and his message is going to take us there. We'll keep pressing on. Oh, on and on and on. Lord, keep me pressing on. Oh, I won't turn back, devil. No, I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Oh, well, old Satan, he'll try to stop you, turn you aside, and he'll say, no need for you to go on, no need to try. Why, even if there was a rapture, you'd surely never make it in. But we just say to Satan, listen, that proves you're a liar again, because this bride will keep pressing on. Oh, there's something down inside the bride of Jesus that keeps us pressing on. Oh, we won't ever turn back. We'll keep pressing on to the high. Oh, there's something in the bride that she only knows one direction. That's forward and upward. Oh, yes, we're gonna keep pressing on. Everybody else may turn away and turn back, but we'll keep pressing on. By the grace of God tonight, I'll keep pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord.
Man, let's sing this together. You want to have a talk with him tonight? Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. Church, he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn, then you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus. Let's stand and sing it together. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. Gonna tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry. He's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus. Why don't you speak to him tonight? Oh, well, I once was lost in sin, but my Jesus took me in. And then a little light from heaven filled my soul. Well, it bathed my heart in love, and he wrote my name above. I found just a little talk with Jesus makes me whole. Oh, let us have a little talk with Jesus. I'm gonna tell him all about my trouble. He will hear our faintest cry. Oh, church, he's gonna answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer will turn him, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. But my Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Church, you can go to him in prayer, for he knows your every care. And you'll find just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Oh, why don't you have a little talk with Jesus? Go on and tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. Oh, he's gonna answer by and by. Then when you feel that little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk. Oh, let's sing it to him tonight. Help me sing this verse. Oh, well, you may have doubts and fears. Maybe your eyes are filled with tears. But our Jesus is a friend who watches day and night. Why don't you go to him in prayer? Don't you know he knows your every care? Oh, and just a little talk with Jesus makes it right. So you can have a little talk with Jesus. Go on and tell him all about your troubles. He will hear your faintest cry. Then he's gonna answer by and by. Oh, when you feel a little prayer will turn in, you'll know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Amen. Amen. Help me sing this together tonight. Oh, you can call him up. Just call him up. Tell him what you want. You can call him up. Call him up. Tell him what you want. Church, you can call him up. Just call him up. Tell him what you want. 'Cause you've got Jesus on that main line now. He's not like some people. Oh, his line ain't ever busy. You can tell him what you want. No, his line ain't ever busy. You can tell him what you want. Oh, his line ain't ever busy. You can tell him what you want. You've got Jesus on.
this technology today. Oh, he won't ever decline you. You can tell him what you want. No, he won't ever decline you. You can tell him what you want. No, he won't ever decline you. You can tell him what you want. You got Jesus on this main line now. Church, why don't you call him up? Call him up. Oh, tell him what you want. Oh, you can call him up. Just call him up. Oh, tell him what you want. Why don't you call him up? Call him up and tell him what you want. You got Jesus on the main line now. Oh, it's Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. You got Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Oh, it's Jesus on the main line. Just tell him what you want.
Sick and you want to get well, oh, tell him what you want. If you're sick and you want to get well, tell him what you want. If you're sick and you want to get well, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now.
Amen. Sorry, I was going to keep singing that, but it's the first time Brother Nathan's put that one on me. So let's sing something I'm a little more familiar with. This is 398 in your hymn book if you don't know it.
Well, he paid a debt he did not owe. Well, he owed a debt I could not pay. Well, I needed someone to wash my sin away. Amazing grace, all day long Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Well, he paid a debt at Calvary. He cleansed my soul, he set me free. Well, I'm glad that Jesus did all my sins erase. I now can sing a brand new song, amazing grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. One day he's coming back for me to live with him eternally. Won't it be glory to see him on that day? I then will sing a brand new song, amazing grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Oh, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. Well, I needed someone wash my soul.